This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Theatre, film, TV and more. Susie Rong reviews it all on Joy Drive.
Good afternoon, Susie Rong.
Good afternoon, Warren. I know you're not super into pop culture, but do you know who JoJo Siwa is?
No.
She's a very famous entertainer, very huge on TikTok.
Right.
And she's been famous since she was a child. And she became part of the Rainbow family a few years back. And she's dated a few women in recent years. But today, it appears she's bisexual. Because I saw on the internet that she's in love with a man now. She's 22 years old.
Oh, good on her.
Good on her.
I love how you started that out with, I know you're not into pop culture. You saved me, Susie Rong.
I had to prepare myself. I can't just go, oh, did you hear about JoJo Siwa? Because you probably haven't.
I would have gone, oh, yeah. No, of course. I'll always be authentic with you, Susie Rong. And authenticity is rather relevant at the moment because we're talking about a show that's called Overcompensating. I love the title. It got me intrigued.
Yeah, but by young queer people like JoJo Siwa.
Yes, exactly. Tell us about it. What did you think of it? Overcompensating.
Benny is starting his college years, but instead of taking his life into a new chapter, he is continuing along with a paranoid and fearful existence as a young man in the closet. Overcompensating from Amazon Prime Video sees our American protagonist doing all he can to prevent anyone at university and at home from discovering that he is in fact gay. For many queer people, this is all too familiar. And sadly for this comedy series, it is all too predictable. There are some laughs to be had, especially when Overcompensating depicts awkward sex between young adults, but not much else is truly funny. Characters are fortunately fairly likable, even if the actors are far too old for playing 18-year-olds. Benito Skinner is the leading man, who's also created and written the series, loosely based on his personal experiences. A lot of the story features portrayals of frat boys and party girls in completely conventional ways, so you'll probably feel like you've seen it all before. Unless you're a much younger person than Warren and I, in which case Overcompensating might turn out to be a fun watch. Teenagers going through the same struggles as Benny would likely enjoy the show a lot more, and they'll benefit from seeing someone go through the difficulties of navigating queer identity as a young adult. I would have liked the show to be less obvious in how it tells the story of a gay man living in fear, and its sense of humor can certainly benefit from being a bit more sophisticated. But sometimes you just have to recognize that a show's simply not made for you. Warren, did you have a better time with Overcompensating?
No, I don't think so. I think I agree with you, Susie. Great to chat with you. What are we watching next week? Susie, a message came in. JoJo's self-discovery in public has been a bit cringe. The lesbians on Insta are up in arms over her claiming the title lesbian, but now with dudes. There you go.
It's really awkward. But like this show, right? Like we put so much pressure on people to come out. And especially when you're young, it's so hard. Oh. How do you know when you haven't done it? You know what I mean?
Exactly. And the labels too. And this is a really good example of how the labels can get us into trouble. We might attach a label to us that we think is appropriate, and then we might realize, well, actually, maybe I'm feeling a bit this way. Maybe I'm, I don't know, the sliding scale is sliding in one direction. And I find the labels a little bit rigid, to be honest. But Susie, in this show, there was something that did strike me, and that was, it sort of shows a bit of toxic masculinity, not as something evil, but something more insecure. Do you reckon the show got that line right between empathy and critique?
That's interesting you picked up on that. I felt like that was too much of it for my taste. It really got me really annoyed, and I found myself kind of turning away, looking away at my phone, because there's just too much of that bad boy behavior. Mm. I know that it's real. I know that, you know, that's what the creator experienced in his life. And I guess maybe in a lot of ways, that's what I had to deal with a lot for my younger days. So just seeing all that on screen, it just felt really tired. It felt really tedious. It doesn't sort of affect me. Like, it doesn't get me upset or depressed anymore. But it just felt tedious. There's so much of it.
Another message saying, let's all just be queer. I'm starting to love the term queer, and I love how you're getting in contact with us on 0427 569 949. You can join in the conversation with Susie Rong. We're talking about overcompensating on Amazon Prime. What do you reckon of the term queer?
I like it. I like that it's very broad. And I feel like there's something very politically effective and powerful in a really big, broad umbrella term that almost prevents people from being straight. You know, like the bigger it gets, the bigger the family gets. I feel like it should be something that makes us more powerful and stronger instead of, you know, clinging on to really rigid small group, small definition. You know, I think as time passes, we find that, you know, people become bisexual, people become pansexual, people become non-binary. The umbrella becomes bigger and bigger, so that you know, we are almost flipping around the exclusion, so that there's a way for people to not feel excluded.
I agree. And look, I'm the first to say, and I'll be taken off the radio one day for this, I don't like the acronym at all. I feel like it does separate us. And it's hard to say. And it's just, let's just include everyone under one umbrella term. I had an auntie once, and she used to say queer to me in a negative connotation. Like, Warren, you're a bit queer. And so I hated the term for years. And I found it hard to accept, but once I got over that, I've really started to embrace it. I like the idea that, you know, we're all in the same boat. And
I feel like the community has been using the word a lot the last maybe 2-3 years, and I think just the repetition of it, using it and hearing it everywhere, reading it everywhere, especially, you know, spearheaded by younger generations, because they don't have the same relationship with the word as we do. So they use it a lot more, a lot freer, and, you know, when we listen to it, read it, it's helped me get over the sort of stigma part of it. And it really is a very helpful word. You know, it's very unifying, and you know, and I think it allows people to identify with being in the community without being too restrictive in terms of who they are.
I agree. And the other thing is too, it allows us to come together to support each other when we need to. It doesn't matter which group is being attacked. And I keep bringing this up all the time. I go back to the HIV/AIDS crisis, and the lesbians were amazing for us boys. They were amazing. They came along, picked up tools and helped out and comforted so many men who were just dying and dropping dead, like lots of them. And there was no acronym then that I can remember. You know, we weren't in our little silos. We were just all, okay, we're in a crisis. Part of our community is being attacked. And not just by a virus, but by all the stigma around it. We need to all come together. And we did.
Well, I hope the same could work for trans people, you know, especially trans people in UK and the US, because we are a very, very tiny majority. If you think that gay men and lesbian women are a small majority of the community, of the general community, trans people are so tiny. Mm. And when you're tiny, it's so hard to get any power. You're always powerless and therefore really easy to bully. So if we can use the word queer, you know, then trans people are not left alone. Trans people, you know, should expect to be protected by, you know, a lot of powerful gay white people, you know, to be really blunt with it. You know, I think, in recent history, powerful gay white men especially have, never thought of trans people as part of their activism. And I think hopefully with this transformation of political climate, and also, like we're saying, the word queer allows us to identify with each other more, and also make us understand that if you are not the enemy today, you could very well be the enemy tomorrow.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So activism should always be about the weakest elements in society, not just, you know, you protecting your own interests.
Shane from Wodonga has been quite funny saying, change the acronym to Quilt Bag Plus so it's easier to say. Good one, Shane. I still reckon get rid of it. Ah, that's funny. Another message has come in saying, and a big glorious umbrella allows folks fluidity without having to apologise, yes, for evolving and changing throughout life. Well said. It is true, isn't it?
We are fighting for freedom. We are fighting for people to love who they want to love. We are fighting for people to be who they want to be. That is the thing. It is not about, I want to be a man who sleeps with a man. It's not that. It's about just being all that and not having the restrictions and not being able to persecute one another based on things that have nothing to do with anybody else.
Susie Rong, I remember going through a phase where I was really attracted to women, and it was a certain, you know, it was a certain type of girl that I was really attracted to, and I got all confused. I remember thinking, hang on, I don't get it. Anyway, you know, I'm not anymore. I ended up choosing the G as the thing. But imagine if it was just queer, and I just thought, oh, you know what, today that's happening. It only lasted for a little while until they all rejected me. But, you know, if we hadn't had these labels, it might have been a bit easier to say, well, you know what, things are fluid and things are changing.
I keep waiting for myself to become fluid. I'm so sick of being only attracted to masculine men. I'm so sick and tired of it. I think if I met a woman that I have, you know, that kind of sexual chemistry with, I feel like it might be so much easier and so much nicer. Well, I don't know. That's my fantasy.
Be curious. I can just be open to whatever happens. The other thing is we're talking about overcompensating, which is on Amazon Prime with Susie Rong at the moment. There's something about how it's shot. I mean, there's the gym scenes, the cars, the clothes. It almost felt like a bit of a cologne ad. Do you know what I mean? What did you think of the visuals, Susie? And how it added to the storytelling.
Look, the whole thing felt very plastic, the very American plasticness. You know, the boy who with the amazing teeth and the perfect hair.
Yeah.
I just felt like it was speaking a language that wasn't speaking to me. But at the same time, I don't know if that language speaks to a lot of people in this day and age. It feels so dated, this kind of, you know, like we in this segment, we've talked about many, many stories about teenagers at school and all that. Most memorably, Sex Education on Netflix, which stands as one of my favorite shows on Netflix.
Oh, yes.
You know, they were young like him, but they were not like really flat. They were not like really dull. And they had a much kind of broader conception of who they are. Yeah, so there's something really plastic and dull about this show, but I don't discount that it could speak to some people.
Let's think of, I suppose, some of those awkward man-to-man scenes. They made me think about the things we've all done to try and fit in, and I think that's something that we've probably all got in common. It doesn't matter which letter of the acronym you fit under. We've all tried to fit in, haven't we? And I know with us gays, it's easy to adopt that masculine, I suppose, exterior because you think you'll be more accepted. But it's when that masculine exterior is used to put other gays down that perhaps are a little bit different and not as masculine. That's where it becomes a problem.
In the show, you can also see that the same masculine artifice is adopted by all the straight boys as well. You know, it comes to a point where you're questioning, like, are they being authentic? You know, if you're saying that the gay guy, the gay lead, is pretending to be this kind of masculine type, but then you're also thinking, this is so extreme. Surely it can't be natural for anyone, but who knows?
And before the texts come in saying, Warren, I'm not talking about who you're attracted to. I'm talking about how you use it in your interaction towards other people. So I just want to make that really clear. Yeah. Susie. the moment of cut the comfort side. We have that friendship, don't we? We can have a comfortable silent pause.
Well, it's good. It's good. The more frank we get with each other, the more interesting the conversations get.
I agree. Susie, it is called, I've forgotten about it now because
Overcompensating.
It's on Amazon Prime. If you want to go and see it and find out what Susie thinks of it, you can check out Susie's review by listening to this podcast again and again and again. Susie, what are we watching for next week?
Pee Wee As Himself is a new two-part documentary on the new streaming service Max, finally telling the truth about Pee Wee Herman and his creator Paul Rubens. Something a little more mature for when I see you next Tuesday. Now, Overcompensating might not have been great, but it had a lot of great songs, and the pop star Charlie XCX is very prominent in it. She has a whole episode where it's about her performing on campus, and it's great. So we're taking you out with her song Girls Night Out, but I will see you next Tuesday for Pee Wee As Himself. Bye bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organization, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.